Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. All right, good people. Welcome back to the Marty Smith Show. Let me get right to the point. Just been reviewing since Monday politics here in local Los Angeles and around the nation. As you know, and despite the background noise, as you know, we've had our January 6th meetings yesterday, revelations about Donald Trump come to light here in Los Angeles, what city council really thinks about African Americans and their own people and other folks and Latins. You know, it's just a lot on one plate. And I've gotten to the point, I had some folks over earlier in the week, and it was like a street coalition. One of my black homies and a couple of my Mexican homies. And as I noticed, everybody was looking at us like, y'all ain't supposed to be having a good time. And we're just barbecuing, doing our thing, drinking some brews, putting them in the air. You're not really caught up with the day-in, day-out rigmarole of who hating on who and who angry at this coalition and who is mad at this neighborhood, this, that, and the other. And as the week progressed, I just woke up with a sense of, has all politics failed? And has it failed because there's a overriding narrative that winning by all means is the way to move your agenda forward? I've often said that if I focus solely on African Americans and their issues to move forward in society, I invariably leave others behind. If I focus specifically on trying to elevate toddlers, I leave the seventh graders behind. You see, it's always a dichotomy. It's always a shift in psychological perspective toward the resources applied to move a common idea forward. If I only focus on my shows, that means I'm not going to listen to too many others. Yet at the end of the day, it seems to be a cycle, at least within the political perspective. And I woke up on a thought suggesting that looking solely at the racial divide here in L.A. and reaffirmation of that through the city council, Gil Cedillo and all of those and those negative comments, it just reinforces the fact that these coalitions aren't really worth salt. They're not worth cardboard soaked in water. They don't hold because ultimately everybody goes south. They always want to go with their own agenda. African Americans do the same thing. And in fact, I was listening to public radio immediately after the LA story broke. And of course, they had to immediately on Pacifica, they bring in the radical voice who was the only one running around here since Black Lives Matter talking about building a coalition with other races to move our agenda forward. But I thought that, yeah, it's a good idea if they all work together, but if it's going to end up like a divide and conquer and a simple number of people who have counter agendas to what they're telling you publicly in your face. And I thought it was not a necessarily good idea to just keep advocating for something that generally, when you walk up and down the street, you don't see. You just don't see communication amongst folks. You don't see coalitions in terms of who's going to sell sodas and tacos on the corner. There's no division among urban and community folks to even divide themselves in a successful way to move individual small personal agendas forward. So if everybody wants an EBT and a welfare card, there's some commonalities that you need to take to the city hall, city council, and they don't fight for that. Everybody's on the downtrodden psychology and then do for self. Well, I'm an only child. I really know how to do for self. I really have mastered how to just be selfish if that's what my goal is. However, because I'm an only child, I'm also a rat in a corner, in the sense that I have to work with others. Having figured that out since an early age, I become more successful by building certain types of coalitions with other folks. I do it in the workplace. I do it in my living. I do it everywhere I go. Supermarket, I do it micromanagemently, and I do it on a macro level. It's common sense on one level, to the extent you can trust the folks you're building coalitions with. But if folks is in your face telling you one thing and you know that not to be so, and then when they're not in your face, creating and orchestrating backstabbations so you can't move common sense forward, then, I mean, you get what you get, right? So why go around touting false coalitions? That has always been my issue, particularly here as politics have seemed to expand here in South LA and across the nation. There is a divide, and acting as if there isn't seems to have created a counter in the common sense. It's a cognitive dissonance. And it's pervasive. Social media doesn't help, of course, and our ways of dealing with common sense issues doesn't help, but it is what it is. I think, though, that at the core and on the longevity perspective, we still have to address some basic things that we know not to be true. Politics, I don't think in its long term is working for the average citizen. So these coalitions and these political connections, when it's all about as long as my people win, well, if you look at the city council, they just set their people back 2-3 years because everybody going to feel some kind of way, even they people, because their comments were even clapped. I mean, this isn't India. We don't have a caste system. But I have found and seen consistently where some folks in certain communities look through their nose and downward at other folks trying to come up in that community, and they the same folks. I know. I've seen it. National news, you just see you know, you can't help but scratch your head and go, what were these Trumpite people thinking about? I mean, yeah, I see y'all agenda. You're going to overthrow this and take over that, but you're doing it in such an egregious, in-your-face way, you're going to eventually have people on your own side turn against you, which seems to be the case. I mean, most of the witnesses for January 6th are Republicans. Those are the people standing up. So this media-driven notion and left notion that the Democrats is somehow going after President Trump is kind of ridiculous too. Yet you don't see a consistency in analysis. Now, I'm not going to even put it on the media because I don't expect CNN to really represent common sense and speak to the people. Their goal is to sell advertising. Their goal is to get you hooked on their platforming and their videos and their broadcast. And that may not necessarily mean presenting a cogent, balanced viewpoint. In fact, I love Tom Hartman, but it's one of the hardest shows to listen to because he routinely puts aside a common thread through the people who are calling in and concerned that I know the Republicans are effed up, but these Democrats aren't helping. And he keeps not addressing basic developing fact now. Both of these parties act the same. There are people embedded in both parties that are neither with either party, and they're just about creating havoc. Call whatever senator or whatever congressperson they are. But if the behavior is such and the affect of the behaviors and votings and public statements suggest that what we garner from that is not necessarily something that most folk agree on and want to be with, then why are we touting these folks as if they are doing something great for the whole of people? You see this also, believe it or not, in the Republican MAGA side, that all white folks is with Donald Trump. That's foolish. What fool thinks that all Republicans is with Donald Trump? That's equally foolish. What you do have is compartmentalization. People deciding, well, this is the issue I agree on, but they haven't thought through the whole overall holy effects of the issue. When we look back during those Trump years and look at those tax breaks that everybody agreed upon back then, now you see that they are actually contributing to the inflation that you're under today. I would go so far as to say that by stopping stimulus payments, you actually created this capital downturn in investments because people don't have money on the sideline that they want to spend. Meanwhile, at the same token, in the same spirit, within those last 3 years, including the Biden administration, we have sent enormous billions to fund wars in Ukraine, but we still don't have water in Flint. We still don't have water in Jackson. It just gets to the point where whatever you as an average person think you believe in and think you going through with this and that, there's that point where that's just not happening. It's just not happening. It seems to be rather foolish. I'm going to suggest everybody take a mental pause and ask yourself some hard questions. Am I really about myself? Am I really about this notion of liberty and America and all that old good talk? If you're African American, you got to ask yourself some real serious questions, particularly those of here, us here in Los Angeles. Because you have constantly been bamboozled and misled, not only by other politicians, but our own. And it does not seem to be moving in a way in which you can make recompense. So I always say,
I'm going to do what you going to do.
Black people, what y'all going to do? Black people, what y'all going to do? Black people, what y'all gonna do when you wake up and find that you're dead? With maggots and roaches eating the pus out of your prostituted mind, and white dusty hands with sars in your hearts with red hot branding iron. They're writing songs of love, but not for me. They're writing songs of love, but not for me. Here we are, the employees of all love, but yet we are working overtime to cover up our loneliness. John Coltrane died in vain, a love supreme. The low staccato screams of black unity. John Coltrane died in vain, a love supreme. Where are the higher octaves of righteousness and truth? John Coltrane died in vain, a love supreme. Where are the high registers of peace and love? John Coltrane died in vain. What are black people doing enough of that they shouldn't be doing? Nothing. Nothing, nothing. Black people, what y'all gonna do? Black people, what y'all gonna do? I see junkie bitches giving birth to gonorrhea-faced babies that come out nodding to the rhythm of God Bless America. And these same babies grow up to be good-looking corpses that haunt the streets of Harlem, raping syphilic-minded, womanless black pussies who dream of becoming virgins once again in the hereafter. Stop in the name of love. Stop in the name of love. Stop mugging that old woman. She's been saving her money all year for a trip to the electric circus, but she died the very next day. Oh, God! Oh, God! God ain't dead. He's down at the family planning office, handing out Brooklyn gold fields to black women, telling them they're a gift from heaven. Look, there's old Sam the wino, searching for a last sip of ancient street love in the empty wine bottles in the gutters of his soul. And the air has become polluted with white lies of love, while love is dying from overdoses of misuse, Christianity, and the gentleman insane asylums, and legal torture chambers called White, Southside, Bed-Stuy, and Huff. Are we the black people who once loved with the slow march of time? Time was ours to hold in the soft, love-warm chambers of our hearts. And was we, the apple mommies and daddies of a sun world, would turn our strands of hair into antennas to tune in the juju madness and syncopate the love rhythms of Africa. And we love with time, and we took the time to love, and with the right time we love, and we love time after time. Will we ever love again? Will we ever love again? Will we really ever love again? Or will we just sit and rot away with the brighter tomorrows in the skag field, rat-cluttered, piss-pinched halls of our minds? Black people, what y'all gonna do? Black people, what y'all gonna do? Will the real black people please stand up?
Huh, the cold part about it, I don't even know who the real ones is anymore. Everybody's become unrecognizable within their own political and angry fight they believe is right. There isn't a side in the fight anymore that's tolerable enough to move their own agenda forward. Because ultimately, They all go the way of internal combustion. Something to think about. I really do see, though, that a developing political thesis is right in our lap. And it touches upon many aspects of our overall development, not just as African Americans, it's just how the communities develop. That is one of the things that most people seem to also miss when they start analyzing the plight for freedom and rights and this, that, and the other. These are continuums, meaning you can't separate one history from another. You can't separate one development of one culture from the affect on the other culture. And so looking at how, for instance, Latin Americans and Latinos gained political prominence from the 70s to today reminds you, here on the West Coast, there were deportation orders out of the 60s. Mind you, the predominant religion that most of Latin Americans practice is Catholicism. That was all in Latin up until early 70s. So you couldn't go to go to church. You couldn't go to mass and understand what the hell they were saying. It was all in Latin. And the ongoing, always combative race issues that define America. You're trying to gain political power using a white model, which is basically imperialism, capitalism at to the tilt, based on a form of coalition building that's nothing more than slave trade psychology. Help us get these folks over your enemies, and we won't do nothing to you. But at the core, we have every intent of taking your indigenous land, telling you one thing while offering you, for lack of a better term, smallpox tacos. Start hitting you in the head with some shit. I want to talk about what's real. I see this every day in the workplace. Folks is not with folks. You know, act like they is. Folks keeping up extras. Extras on extras. As if we ain't all paying $7 for gas. Waging war against you and your little efforts to just feed your little folks and do your little job. At the same time, standing against efforts to even consider some type of unity of spirit and soul. I don't know. But I see it, and I have seen it for many, 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 many moons. Many moons, folks. Falsities right here in your face, right where you lay your head, right where you go to work. And the obvious thing is the acquiescence of those who are most negatively. I have gotten to the point where I don't like being bothered by anybody. I don't care what race you is. I used to be the one that was going to go out of my way to help. Those days have come to a quick conclusion. Not going to happen. In fact, I'm going to suggest y'all all
Yeah.
Come along live, man. Hold on. All right, folks, back to the Marty Smith Show. We got the brand Nubians in the back. You know, just got to slow down sometimes. That's really what I've been trying to say for the last 45 minutes. What's going on in 916? Is that Sacramento?
Yes, it is. It's Harris Walker. How you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing fine, brother, doing fine.
What's going on in your world? How are the politics in our nation, in our state's capital? As you know, there's a lot going on, man. I'm kind of just mad at the backstabbing. That's what I am mad at.
Don't be mad. I mean, it's we got hypocrites. You know, we got a lot of hypocrites. But it's going just like I said it would. You know, including just looking at YouTube and seeing what Biden said in L.A., which is the same thing I said 3 days earlier about the Republicans not wanting to vote for infrastructure and for Puerto Rico to get fixed for money for them. But as soon as they hit Florida, they quietly sending letters and correspondence to, we need money to fix Florida. And I said Biden's going to do it because the Democrats are about the people, not about the power structure. And that's exactly what Biden said.
They're also about this political season. So anything Biden can do to make it look as if he's addressing the common needs of the folks most in need, I think that's a good thing. But I also see the fact that DeSantis kind of played Biden and used it as a political opportunity. Because I don't know if you knew, but DeSantis had probably about 48 hours knowledge that he should have called to have the people evacuated prior. But, you know, you let the event happen and now you use it as a political tool. I am happy that Biden even came to L.A. I thought, you know, and I'm very happy that he weighed in on some of our local stuff. I think, though, that, you know, what more can he do?
Well, it's you know, what people don't understand about our government is that for some reason they flip like we work for the government. The government works for us.
Yeah.
We are the government. They're nothing but people. It's not no alien big machine or something like that. You know what I'm saying? We vote the people in.
Yeah, we vote them out. They don't exist in a tank underneath the sea and none of that. They don't wear funny helmets.
So, you know, the thing is, what it shows is the things that we have said for the 400 years we've been in America, documented in America, that you have people who would take away everything you have for their own self-worth. These people we need to get out of office. And I've been fighting these people out of office. I've been in communication with government for years. And you know, I was looking at the January 6th trial yesterday, fielding phone calls left, right, and sideways, you know. And I was so glad that they showed what Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, you know, good friends of mine, were doing while Trump was doing nothing. And Steve Scalise is right there talking about, I don't know why Nancy didn't do more and all this. Why didn't he do anything? Because he's part of it. So we got to get these MAGA Republicans now, not all Republicans. But if you follow the MAGA trail for party or whatever, then we need to get you out.
Yeah,
too.
I followed it to the extent that I report on it. But, you know, common sense is common sense. If you utilize it, I am equally niffed it, and this is bugging me, man. I love me some Tom Hartman. I sit in on Karen Bass's community calls. I've been doing it for years because she wants me on the call. I've been engaged in politics all my life, but I don't see a progressive Democrat left-based media infusion of telling that Pelosi story, of hammering the fact that to me, I think it needs to be said that the Republicans that don't want women to have rights is no different than the Taliban. You know, that type of hardness of language and of the narrowing of stop believing and to the local folks, stop thinking what you want. This is what's going down, and these numbers prove it.
And you got two types of people who support this MAGA thing. All right. They got two types of people. You have the uneducated, and you have the educated, which are the ones who are trying to do the stealing on the power grab.
Yeah.
And they use the division.
And then there's There's a third person. Those that ain't with none of it and just benefiting from it.
There are those two who benefit from it. But if you notice in the last, we can go back to the 60s, and we look at how the Democrats always have to come in and fix something, behind a Republican. I mean, and then we look at the things like, okay, so for instance, when they were talking about gun control after Uvalde shooting, and the Republicans kept hollering, "Oh, it's not guns, it's mental. So when I heard that, I sent off a few emails. Hey, let's give them what they want.
Yeah, but
let's
they won't fund mental health.
We got $870 million. We got $870 million for mental health. That's what I'm saying. Let's give them that little talking point.
They took the counselors out of the colleges, the elementary schools, and the jails.
Hey, we're about to put it back. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I am an independent. I don't care who's in, as long as you're working for the people and the betterment and strengthening of America. Now, we have different ways of considering strength. You got to understand, like I said, the Republican mindset after they invaded the Democrats and everything switched over.
You just said what I believe, and that's not these parties have been infected
by each other.
Cross folks.
That was the game plan.
Yeah, it's like you got Crip Bloods and Blood Crips and Team 14s and 14-13s, if you know something about all these ethnicities.
Yeah, I know about
You got Irish Brits and Brit Irish.
Exactly. And so that tells you by itself. It's only, the only thing that really separates us is really idealism. That's the division point.
Wait till we get to the notion. I may be a little bit drunk from the American literature spirit that, why can we all just understand we're all human? And the air in L.A. is no different than the water in Jackson. If it ain't of quality, it'll kill us all. The hurricane in Ian in Florida, even if it hits the rich villa, has the same effect. If it hits the poor lowland, it's same dollar to buy the same amount of lumber. You might get yours done quicker in the villa, but it's the same drag on the dollar in the economy. I have economic background mixed in all of this foolishness of mine and definitely music. But at the end of the day, I just see economically, if you associate, if those politics don't get me lower gas, if that costs, I like steak. If it means that I have to pay a dollar more a pound, then I am not happy with that.
Let's look at, since you know economy, okay? So I remember as a kid, I was born in 60. So I remember as a kid being able to go to a store with a dollar and come back with a whole bunch of stuff, right? I remember when apples were 5 cents.
I could do that.
But I never heard an apple tree yet say, hey, wait a minute, hold on. I want more money for my apples before y'all pick apples. Don't pick no apples off me unless you give me 10 cents an apple now. All right? So everything
do that when you don't prune the tree. There's a scripture that says he who pruneth has more money. If you don't prune the tree and you let it be affected with bugs and worms, then it really did put a tax on you, or somebody, whoever could, you can say God put a tax on it. Somebody controlling the environment of the tree put a tax on it. But you had an opportunity to mitigate that, maybe by digging up around the roots, maybe by tending to the tree. We got to tend to the tree like it's the tree of politics.
We sure do. And what you're talking about is what I've always said about people, our government, and everything else. We are reactive. We're not proactive.
Yeah. No,
see, I'm
going to
grow my tree in a place where it's going to get the best sunshine. I'm going to make sure it has the best protection against bugs, weather, whatever I can protect it against. I'm going to do my best to protect it. Now, what we do is wait until that tree gets infected and then say, this tree got infected. Well, now we need to do this repair method first, and then we do the method next, and that just costs us more money. And I look at the same thing in housing and everything else. Could be the CEO of Hand in Hand Foundation, and we're environmental and children, so we are basically everything that's life, everything that has to do with your income, your health.
I'm familiar with that, and you know what? You are about – no, okay. Let's get off the mountain. You and I are about to come down off the mountaintop because you and I see a clear vision. We can look out over the Cascades and see that we need to move some folks up. Some folks have moved too far, and they mountain is not represented. They don't let nobody up the mountain. So, but politically, financially, funding moving forward for a particular cause like yours, and I'm not going to talk specifically, but there are strikes of causes across our just southern and California sphere like yours. I lived in Oakland 20 years. I know that these folks need funding, help, and they need to be probably adverse to the political perspective that traditionally creates those funding sources and opportunities. How can we actually do the work of bedding, housing, soxing means soxes.
okay, well,
food,
first
whatever. And,
first
and
thing
do
we
it,
have to do
on,
is... Go ahead.
Well,
go
I'm
ahead.
Like, we can't all rely on a Bill Gates foundation scholarship type thing.
Right.
You know what I'm
saying?
Everybody can't use a federal grant writing purse. Does it work? Oh, in fact, if you do start, I've written them, you can start healthy with them, and then, but eventually you got to plan your way out of that because they're going to come back for it. And now anything you may be saying or said on Tuesday could be used against your funding because you don't have the 501, 601, 801, 3BC, ABC status. This, that, and the other. My point again, more focused, is how can we evade, look beyond our traditional funding for these programs that actually do go beyond government services. So if we had 10 of y'all, we could replace probably if we get you big enough in the right category, replace FEMA, shit, because your business model for serving the public isn't based on necessarily condoning economic activities and usury of public funds for disavowalment, for no good.
Well,
more
my,
focused.
I, my solution. I have a solution for that. Like, that's what Hand in Hand is about. We're not about the Band-Aids. We're about the solution to the problem. So let's look at it. Okay, so economically speaking, for the public, general, everybody in America, everybody in the world, first, your
yes.
major expense, your first major expense is your housing. All right? So the Healthy Homes Program is designed to build affordable rentals first, not homes you purchase first, but affordable rentals that are sustainable, green, you pay no utilities, basically indestructible. My engineer said these buildings should, one engineer said it should last 1,000 years because the materials are non-degradable. And the design and the way we would build would protect against floods, extreme weather. They're definitely fireproof. And so now we look at the cost of natural disasters alone in America from the tornadoes, fires, and everything. I mean, Paradise, California, really? Still hasn't been rebuilt. That fire
yeah,
was 3 years ago.
I worked for State Farm coming out of college, bro. I was a claims adjuster flying around the nation trying to pay these people and tell them bad news.
Yeah, and my son worked for the SBA, so you already know they deal with
yeah.
FEMA and everything else. So the thing is, we can use the government sources, but the main thing that we've forgotten is the power of the village. We could, as just black people alone, we're worth trillions of dollars, more than that they actually report, because, you know, we always got some working on the side. You know what I'm saying? We are survivors.
I mean, that's germane to what we used to call a real brother.
Yeah. So now we look at, okay, let's say clean water in Alabama. Or Mississippi. Clean water all over, because all our water is contaminated. All our water has forever chemicals, something I warned the government and environmentalists and everything about for years, because
hey,
I used
hey,
to own
well, man,
a chemical.
You are on it. You are on it. The whole, the PG&E, the DWP system, the way it's coming off of the Hetch Hetchy, by the time they filter it, it's too late.
Yeah. It's too late. It's too late, and the filters still don't remove everything. It removes 90 to 95% of certain things, blah blah blah. But there are certain things that still get past the filters. So,
the tiny housing program.
No.
I don't like it. But
no, I don't
I
like it. I'm not putting people in dog houses. I'm not putting people in dog houses. I'm not putting people in toy houses.
They look like slave
okay.
quarters from antebellum of prior Mississippi, which didn't even have a paint in the pink and the green. But and they still on the same premise. You don't have a bathroom. You have still have a latrine type operation.
Yeah. Well, I understand what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying, and I have a solution for that. So that's it. If you look at when you get a chance, Google HHF. Healthy Homes Program, or go to our website and you'll see a video. Go to a Hand in Hand Foundation YouTube. You'll see a video I have on there this is an emergency shelter. Now, everybody who's seen the video and they didn't know it was an emergency shelter was like, man, that's nice. I'd live in that. And I said, no, this isn't the apartment. This is your first stop if you're coming off the street homeless, blah, blah, blah. This is what you live in while we evaluate you, blah, blah, blah. You know, and set you up in your apartment, find out what type of work experience you have, because these people got to go to work. So
repeat
the HHF plan is not only.
Repeat that
repeat
site
again.
Yes.
HHF, Hand in Hand, that stands for Hand in Hand Foundation. All our programs, basically, except for the Cans for Kids, start with HHF. It's the HHF Healthy Homes Program.
Okay.
Now that program will build affordable, self-sustaining, green, environmentally green buildings that are healthier for the occupants inside protected, more protected from weather, even bullets. Where's bulletproof? Okay, so, oh, come on, man. Hey, look, I lived across this country, and I've been in a lot of hoods, and I've seen so many accidental shootings from people who can't handle what they're shooting. You know what I'm saying? They shoot at somebody, but bullet miss, go through
but
a house,
also,
hit a kid.
Also, you were thoughtful enough as a developer to understand that the urbanomics of the world are real, and I'm not going to put something up that's not sustainable from a daily just how people behavioral issues. Yeah.
Well, and that's another thing.
It also creates a crime buffer because most criminals are more common sense than the folks that they're trying to get, meaning that they understand that if you give me a barrier, I'm not trying to necessarily get caught up with it.
Well, the design for these communities, and I do mean communities, I'm not trying to build a apartment building. I'm trying to build community. We just acquired 62 acres last year during COVID in Southern California, North Edwards, California, to build the first project. So now we're raising the money to start raising. We're starting to raise the money now. I let COVID pass. Let us try to, kind of pass. Let us kind of get back together before I start really pushing this program again. But
we're talking
secure, fenced in, gate entry, security gate entry. Cameras will be on every corner showing everything on the street. You're not getting out. If you do something wrong, we know exactly where you are. We know where you're going. We know what house you went in and where you're hiding. And you're not getting out through that, not through the gate. So
what
we
about
will
those
have
coming
evidence.
In? What about
those
clowns
coming
in?
As you come in, we plan on having license plate readers and cameras to show occupants inside of the vehicle. You have to, if you're coming to see somebody, you have to register. You know, if you're a guest, we call that person. You have so and so at the gate. What would you like us to do?
You know,
these are smart apartments. You got to understand,
like
these are smart apartments.
We've got to build our own community.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a high-end community that's affordable because of the plan. Okay, so like I said, that unit that you see on that video, at the time of build, that unit, retail build, that unit cost us $26,000. Now, you look at it, you'd be like, this for $26,000? Yeah. So, but now with cost and everything, so we look at the costs that can be recovered in 8 to 10 years. After 8 to 10 years, the project is good and it'll last.
My mind is moving real quick. Can I ask a financial question?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's not specific, but it's a. I am a member of Fundrise, and so I put together a retirement strategy so that around what was like 8 years from the time I did it 2 years ago, so that I would have X amount of thousands to aid in my retirement. But Fundrise is a operation that finds folks like you to invest in, and then my funds go to that. It's not a this is not an internet joke.
It isn't. It's like,
I guess my point was because they just sent me my what is it called when you make
membership
dividends.
Well, you gave me an idea. You gave me a solution possibly to one of my issues.
Fuss with them. Find out on the back door, not the front door, they could, because I have, and I just did this as a challenge to myself. I do some of this type of foolishness on my shows because I'll be over here talking about Well, how can you change your mindset? How can you stop buying lottery tickets, blah, 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 and whoop, 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 and don't believe this devil? And then you know what? I got to go out and try to do this shit. And so I decided to do it. And I looked at this 3 years ago, and it said that my return on what I would have did if I had put it in Bitcoin would have been even greater. So I did that. I didn't do thousands. I wish I had, because I'm making the money when the gas changed the market structure. And then on top of that, I put it in REITs, so Real Estate Investment Trust. And now I also went in full board with something that you may be thinking, you already thought past me. You know, this is a big home. So you already thought through it.
The first project I wanted to build with either community money, the first part of the project, because I want, when I get ready for the investors, because we were talking about that, I want an investment plan where everyday people can invest into rental properties, not homes, not purchase properties, rental properties, business infrastructure. So now you own a part of that business. Yeah,
yes.
I've heard of them, but I never got deep. So I'll definitely be checking them out and see if that's the answer, because I was going to have my people write up a plan, an investment
plan.
Well,
listen, to all, and I do this because my technology will weed out you busted. But go and text me at Blue Think Tank, blue as in the color, as in thinker. Tank, Blue Think Tank @gmail.com. Send me that reference to the show, and I will send out that link. I don't care if I get a dollar off the link. That ain't my issue. I think that their program is a hidden gem for a lot of folks trying to do stuff that don't know. And part of what we do here is just place people with information. Pastor Don.
Do you want me to email you, right? Give me that email again so I can put it in right now. Hold on. We'll call security concerns, remind me later, okay. Let me start putting an email to you right now. Hold on. So I can make sure that you have this. BLUE Think Tank, right?
Think Tank, yes, @gmail.com. I'm Marty Smith. And when you get that to me, by the time I get off the show, I'll text you back my phone number so you'll have all that.
I'm gonna send you one. It's gonna be titled HHF. I'm gonna put my phone number in it because I want you to call me so we can talk about it.
Yeah. I'm gonna do that too. Sometimes I don't do all that on air because I have 5,000 pizza sellers and shit.
I do understand.
Hey, when I started this, man, I had people call me from all over the world, and then I would have these Trumpian Africans, I mean, going hard in the paint on every topic, every statement, and I was just like, you know, you might remember Ted Koppel. I was just like a black Ted Koppel, with a mindset of no, and that's not true, and no, and that's not true, and but this is the fact. But the whole point here, what I try to do is just give you cogent information. Sometimes two people talking, you would never have known that we even had familiarities in common and with possible resources. And I just talked to someone, I'm always mentoring people at the job, young Hispanic male, mm-hmm. and I told him, you know, sometimes you run into roadblocks. I find myself always not trying to be, but I end up being like a counselor, teacher type cat. I'm 57. I'm too old. I don't have no children. We just went to work. But I told him, I said, sometimes he was complaining about this, man. I said, well, look, I'm not one of them type of supervisors. We're going to give you what you need to do a better job. I said, in fact, I use psychology. I give you a lot of breaks I give you, just have a seat, bro. It looks like you're having a hard time. You know why? Because I get more work out of y'all. And I look at it over time, and I press my numbers. And I said, eventually, y'all go back to management and be like, hey, can I work with Marty again? And then they be like, well, based on your profile, don't look like you can really work well with him. He gets work out of me.
Yeah,
it had nothing to do with nothing but empathy. Also, I'm not going to lie, the Apostle Paul is part of my DNA because I can be the persecutor. We can all be Alex Jones, but when they hit you with a $965 million, which is 35 million away from a billion, I'm good. It may be time to help some folks.
You reap what you sow.
Oh shit!
That's you reap what you sow. So these people are gonna pay. That's just the way my girlfriend works. Her name is Karma, and she's a BITCA.
Karma. Oh, bro, you took it out of my mouth. I was gonna say Karma's a bitch, and she tends to be the one that you always want.
But if you treat Karma right, guess what happens to you? You get treated right. So they got everything coming because they did this for money. So let's take that money back from them, you know. Oh, what I want to tell you, too, is another program that you'll see on there is called the HHF DFP, which is Digital Financial Plan. So, like I said, one of the biggest things I've seen in all our communities, and I've lived in every state except for Alaska, and I got people all over the country. And I know people in low places and high places. Let's put it that way. And I see the common thread is one thing is that if we can, when another Republican, Reagan, who screwed up everything back then, was talking about the trickle-down theory, even when I heard it the first time, I said, I've never seen money trickle down. I always see it trickle up. In other words, the rich, we made this person rich. We made this company rich. We made Elon Musk rich. We made Facebook rich. It took people to make it work. You see what I'm saying?
It took coalitions,
and that's what we're doing now. We're building a coalition across the country and internationally to combat the world's problems, which we all basically have the same problems. We all basically have the same problems, but I believe we start at home first. I've got to clean up my backyard before I can tell you how to clean yours up. So that's what we're working on now.
Wait. What making you and your operation so diligent and smart? I have had quite a few. I've had hundreds, thousands probably at this juncture. I've been doing this show for damn near a decade. I just don't do it like I used to. But what makes you so proficient at focusing on inequity and altruism through your message? If I hear one common theme, is you seem to be altruistic, and then I would go so far as to say you are altruistic. I'm glad you laughed because I wasn't trying to tap into your left brain.
Yeah, well, look, let me tell you something. My life, and people who know me and the ones who know me personally can tell you, there's people who want to write books about my life. I'm the Black Forrest Gump. You know, that's what they love to call me. You're the Black Forrest Gump.
You stole it. Oh, man, I was that dude. Oh, man, I'm Forrest Gump Jr.
Hey, I was blessed to be born into, and that's been in my life. I have a who's who.
So you like me.
My dad was.
You know, you were square like me. You're a square. You really wasn't that.
I'm more of an octagon.
Yeah.
I'm more
okay.
of an octagon.
Yep.
I'm rounded when I need to be, and I'm square when I need to be, you know. But I was born in Magnolia Projects. I've lived in Southwest Atlanta.
In New Orleans?
I lived in Harlem. Yeah, I'm from New Orleans.
I'm from Alabama.
And I got plenty of friends in Alabama, and that's one of the states I really want to help, you know, because the southern states, even though they're Republican ran, I'm going to jump on politics for about a minute.
Most
of the Republican ran states are the poorest states in the country.
Yeah.
All right. Now they want to come talk about the crime and so on in Democratic states and so on, which crime goes on in their states that they try to look over. If we look at everything, let's look at the amount of fentanyl and crystal meth being made in the country. It's being made in those southern states. It's being made in those Republican states more than the Democratic states. All right? Because their country, they got plenty of field and forest to hide in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If we look at the decline.
Based on my last check of the 15,000 fentanyl pills that they got in the Lego box the last week, and then the 5 deaths. We have one a day at a high school. A lot of our fentanyl is coming from 1 or 2 central places in Mexico, and then through
and
that. And then they have retransplanted all throughout the South, and now they're working with certain landowners that may have old farming structures that were white owned, maybe go back to the slave trade, you never know, throughout the South and Midwest, and where these operations and these manufacturing plants are. We're not talking about 1 or 2 pills in a sack coming over the border.
Oh, no,
We're talking plane loads, ship loads.
Yeah, and crystal is so easy to make now that, I mean, here's a crystal within 15 miles of each other. You can go every 15 miles, you'll find at least one fentanyl, one crystal.
I wouldn't know why anybody would want to put some plastic shit up your nose, and now they smoking it, and now they lacing that on top of your street peels. I don't...
You got people who want to destroy your way of living. You got people who want to destroy your way of living for the sake of profit, or they want to destroy our country
and make
a profit.
As soon as we start legalizing weed, now we got this problem, man. You got good herb, and that came from God, and now you want to do this. And then it's
that's their way. That's not our way. Our way is to live with the earth. Our way if we were still living in a village mentality, we would still have the advancements of man, but we would do it as a village. And this is where we need to be at. But because of the lies, the thieves, the uneducated people, you know, like I like watching Jordan Klempler with The Daily Show when he interviews Trump supporters, and you would say, did this guy ever go to school? Do they ever read a newspaper, or are they just living in that la-di-da-di-o-do-do world, you know, and don't care as long as if it sounds, that's what it is. And so one of the things that, to answer your question, is my life. How the way I am is because of the people in my life. When I was born in New Orleans, 2 months later, we're in Atlanta with my father's side of the family, which is part of Martin Luther King's church, Ebenezer. I'm that kid in 62 that interrupted the speech because I got lost in the crowd. My mom inside the church. In 62, also, Gladys Knight was my babysitter. While she was
with the Pips, and you know, she had been performing since the 50s. People like the Harlem Globetrotters, my mom and stepfather were Black Panthers in Oakland. Huey and all them. They were one of the first 100. I mean, at the beginning. So I grew up around the Black Panthers. I know what they're about. And a lot of young black people today think the Black Panthers were all black. And you would be 100% wrong.
No.
We had everybody. Actually, Inoki is one that they said that was working with the government. And he's Asian. So we had everybody.
You know,
that's interesting because
I lived in Oakland, and my real mentors were Panthers. I had a surrogate mother who was a Panther, and I asked her, I once asked her, what did you do when you was in the Panthers? She said, Marty, you don't want to know, but I used to have to put on a ninja. She said, I used to have to put on a ninja suit and show up at your house when you got out of line. And
you're
I'm
right.
Like, well, what's that
black
mean?
Or white?
Like,
it doesn't make a difference.
She was an enforcer. So, she would probably know me
or my mom or somebody.
Oh, well,
my mom was deep.
You probably know Paulette. Everybody know Paulette out of Oakland. She probably rest in peace by now. But she held out. She was the only woman I knew. She the one got me into security. She the one said, look, go over here, go down to the Oakland on David Street, go down there and tell them you know me and woman will and register and get security and get your weapons permit. She said, don't shoot up everything. I know how you are.
Right.
Don't try to win the race. She said, don't go in there because she said the white people don't like that when you hit everything. And so I went in there and I have hit everything. And I was one point of failing, and then the dude looking at me like, yeah, okay, I got you, nigger, gotcha. You're not going to get through this. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you, bro. So I shot the shit up. I remember because I shot the motherfucker. I shot his head up. So and I killed his neck off, and then they were like, bro, you can't hit over the eyes. I'm like, but he did. So if you're going to shoot, shoot. But Paulette was, and she's the one that told me the story of, she gave me the story, says 64-5, we used to come down to a meeting every year in L.A., and then one year we come down there, and then these cats were wearing blue, and that was the Tookie people, and that created this, and I said, well, what was the difference? We was trying to work with the government. We'd already went on the Capitol. We'd already put the meals in place, doing our thing, doing the Angela Davis thing. And then these cats were like, nah, fuck that. We're going to stick it to the man. We're going to take direct action. And then from there, we went through Chicago. And then woman, and she gave me the whole. And I'm like, you know what? This shit you telling me. I'm from L.A. I'm here in L.A. right now. I'm from the streets. I'm on the streets to start the riot. So I'm like, man, the homies need to know this. Everybody needs to know this. All right, this ain't new shit. So then when the internet came of age, I started researching all the way to Bunchy Carter, all the homies, everybody, all the blood sets, how it transferred down, the Felix Mitchells, everybody, all the way to Cabrini Green, bro. And nothing that she told me.
You're mentioning people and places I've lived at. I lived 8 blocks from Cabrini in Chicago. Felix and Mickey Moe, I know them both personally because that goes back to my street days. But I was the one that stopped the war. I was the one that stopped the war. You know,
street days ain't actually over. You just transformed them into a street dude with an office. You still got to go down there on the street and see if they talk.
Oh, yeah. That's why, you know, like when I moved into this house, right, I moved out of my 3,000-square-foot, 4-bedroom, 4-full-bath house to another house when I bought 2 that year. I rented it out to the homeowner who lost the house for half of what he was paying to help him. Okay. So now this is how crazy I am. This is how crazy I am. I buy this house. I go to the house to see who's in it, if it's a renter or whatever, to inform them I'm the new owner. I run across the guy, opens the door. I tell him what's happening. He says, well, I guess you want me to move. I said, well, hold on for a minute. I said, how much were you paying to buy this house? He said, I was paying like $1,800 a month. I said, okay, that must have been hurting you because you lost it. He said, yeah. I said, if I rent it to you for $1,000 a month, will that help you? And he stuck there. He said, what? I said, if I rent this house to you for, I pay cash for the house. So if I rent the house to you for $1,000 a month, will that help you recover?
You didn't have no note?
No note. I pay cash for the house. I pay cash for all my house.
You just had your insurance cover. Right. You need to be teaching financial solvency. You're going to have to teach financial solvency on one of my shows.
Well, people wouldn't believe what I do and how I get things done. But I bought my first house
at
18. At 17, really.
Like I said, your spirit is altruistic. Now, if it come heretofore that my karmic seal on your spirit through my phone lines was wrong, well, then they'll find the Trump documents at your house. But
they sure wouldn't.
Time,
they sure wouldn't, because, see, I understand the system.
That's right by the box with the old computer with the Clinton email.
Oh, man, yeah. You know, but he bit himself in
I'm
the ass. And I know Trump since I was 15. I'm going to tell you, I know Trump personally.
I have met him. I was in the hip-hop gang. But I didn't. I know about what they do.
Were you in the music business?
I really never left. But all of the 90s, I'll say it like this. I was in the studio when Too Short dropped his first album.
You remember Black Ice, right? Remember guy Black Ice? That's me.
Yeah, I remember Black Ice.
That's me. I'm Black Ice. That's me.
I know. I ran all the way up. I mean, man, I could just call the record label. From In a Minute in out there in Oakland, what was that, West Oakland? West Oakland, then you would have to know Frederick Johnson. Used to promote records, underground.
I know everybody from Sly Stone, from Sly Stone to NBA Youngboy.
Yeah, I don't know these young niggas like that no more. But I know
the old and new ones.
You will find pictures of me on stage with Corrupt. I'm not rapping. You'll find pictures of me on stage with Spice One and Keith Murray, and I might have been rapping. That's because I was high as a cut.
I'm always in the background. I try to avoid pictures and everything. I try to avoid being in the front.
Well, I earned my gold platinum records just by being a proficient promoter. We had a vibe during the 90s called Soul Food. We gave parties. We did this. We hooked people up. We did background shit. We did promotional parties that amounted to nothing more than beautiful women and Jive Records paying me $4,000 or $5,000. To have everybody over. I get in and out. I still do security backstage because I love music, and I still produce. But that wasn't the theme.
I was talking to Jonathan. Jonathan. I'm trying to remember his last name. My names are running through my mind like crazy right now. He's a Grammy Award winning producer, worked with so many artists. He got so many hits out there.
Yeah.
But I was talking to him because we're pulling entertainment. We're pulling entertainers and the entertainment world into the social world deeper now. This collaboration that we're talking about.
Actually, you're pulling them back. into a reality
back into
that's
the
not based on their income and their ability to evade where they came from or where they're trying to go, because they got a lot of money now, Ice Cube, and you can act like Trump is your friend, Kanye, but it's not, and you need to still realize it. When they step
like
out
said,
on any stage, they're still
Trump
black
since
people.
I was 15.
You know who?
I'm 61. I've known Trump since I was 15, personally. I know his family. I know shit that people don't know. I've had dinner at his mom's house.
You're not that architect, brother, I met that did writing. He did architecture for him.
My dad told me when I met Trump that he told me, made me promise then, never do business with Trump because he's a snake and he's the biggest snake in the field. I said, because I told my dad, you taught me how to deal with snakes in business, you know. He said, yeah, but Trump is one snake I never want you to mess with, because for two reasons. First thing, if he rips you off, I know you. No,
and he'll kill
I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. That back then, that's how it would have been. That's why he said, I don't want you in trouble, because if he robs you, you're going to go and come get him. That was the main thing.
Hey, but look. What's your first name?
Harris. Harris Walker.
Harris?
Harris. Yeah, Harris Walker.
Harris. Like the country, Paris?
Harris. H-A-R-R-I-S.
Harris,
two last
names. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Harris. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. But if you recall, during those hip-hop years, those beautiful 90s, late 80s, into early 2000s, Trump even declared, he would be at some of the parties. Bro,
oh yeah,
I seen.
Oh yeah,
I done been all around this motherfucker for all kinds of events, and some of these would be like the BRE Black Record Executive. I never seen him at something like the college music where we great records like Gavin, but let's say Vibe, because Daniel Smith is a friend of mine. If you know anything, you know what I'm talking about. From the Vibe 70s years.
Yeah, I was about to say from Vibe. Let me ask you something. In L.A., and was it, that was 91. Were you in L.A. in 91 at the Whispers party? At the house?
Mm-hmm. I heard about a party. I was in Oakland in 91, and I hadn't officially started the company Soul Food Enterprises until September, but I was moving around as a youngster, shaking in and out of the game and running with folks and giving parties and dissing and dodging and showing up at places, even L.A., because I used to fly in unbeknownst to my homies and then tell the ones I wanted to go to the party. But I heard about a party, but I hear about many.
Yeah, there's many. Oh, man, yeah. Especially the VIP guest-only type parties, yeah. But see, that's what I'm saying. We got to get back on the topic. We have to work together. We have to understand our nickels and dimes together can make things happen. And I'm saying, okay, so you need clean water in your area. Okay, there's an area in Alabama. You know, the governor ain't doing nothing. The mayor's not doing nothing. These people are driving 12 miles just to get drinking water.
The main area
I was talking to is the area that Biden had Bernie Sanders had visited and did a video on, which brought it to my attention. And so I was
I have roots in Anniston, and that was a black stronghold, and if you got enough millions, you can go down there and buy a whole town. because a lot of those brick fronts.
I need that town to. I need that town to put that money, put this money together. If this town can put together $150,000. Yeah, because I
now,
can promise them 2,000-3,000 gallons of water a day. That is completely clean, 99.9% clean, 99.99% clean.
From
technology, through our AGW technology. The same thing that's going into our Healthy Homes Project, same thing that's going with our water plan, clean water, which is our fourth plan.
So
and
those
same,
are like the Appleton and water generators. There's a company that has African water generators.
The first company that did it was out of that. The first one I put in Africa was 2013.
And would that be Nigeria or Kenya? Where'd you put it?
West Africa. That was West Africa. I'm thinking it was Kenya. It was West Africa. We put a 800 gallon a day machine there.
Well, young man, I would hate to. I hate to let this back up, young man. Young man, you're a young man. You're a young man, and you're traveling a lot of miles. But for some reason, that Kermetic thing that you said, I'm intersecting with you on knowledgeable points. I'm not. I don't just spew off the top of my dome. I really get into knowing and try out of my heart to. And let's not mind you, we're going to go over today on the Marty Smith Show, folks. I hear her telling me 10 seconds, but I paid for it. And I'm like President Reagan. Sorry, I paid for this, Mike. So, and that's how it's going down. But I'm knowledgeable on certain issues, and my academic background is certainly I have a tradition and sustainability to the extent that I can actually design the damn building architecturally as well as then implement it from a digital design to give it that infrastructure or design that communal space. So when you have open space, there's ways to increase cloud maturation of water saturation. I'm not trying to be wordy.
No, there is. There's other ways and techniques and so on. But the AGWs, the AWGs, I'm sorry, are the modern technology and more the most effective for the cost. And,
my thing is
I don't like paying for stuff.
You just said the buzzword, the modern technology with the most. That technology comes through the military and science first. You can't tell me that NASA don't know everything that we're talking about. You cannot tell me that JPL out of Pasadena
don't know
everything.
They do. Come on, we have the hydro engine. We've had that for a long time, but now guess what? The military has Jeeps and other things that they're using the engine that uses water, plain water. Okay, so we have that. We have this technology. Yeah, I've seen the Jeep. I've seen the Jeep.
Yeah.
And they were saying in emergencies,
it's also emergency
water supply.
For the listeners, the ability to actually just show up in a desert with a couple of trucks mounted with equipment and have electricity
make all the water you
out
want.
Of nowhere and water, and they're going to bring the tents, and then they can just drop them in from the air and all of the housing infrastructure and lumber to build and sustain a community for years, decades.
Yeah.
And,
well, we got to change our building too.
Well,
we got to change all that. We got to change
so
deforestation is a big problem. So my home uses 90% less wood. And that's mainly
for
framing inside.
Is that a good thing when you look at the radon emission rate and the radon and things that come from non-wood fibers or even wood that is inappropriately warmed or heated
and treated, right?
That creates, yeah.
So what I looked at
what
was
about that?
Well, see, the radon problem is mitigated for two reasons. First thing, the cabinetry is wood, basically. You know, that's going to be wood. But the only other wood is inner wall framing, and that's because the outside is all metal, and it's the type of metal. That's the most important part. The type of metal doesn't corrode.
If it's not galvanized steel, what type of metal is it? Alloy?
No. It's an alloy, but it's made. It's okay. So you look at a shipping container.
The issue is alloy and aluminum-based things may melt at a quicker rate, although they're tensely, meaning structurally, like a toothpick, stronger than a nail, for instance, of the same size. The nail won't burn as quick. Engineeringly speaking, is what I last thought I knew. Am I wrong, or is this another combined shit? I'm pretty sure at some point you're gonna come up with a Teflon
alloy. No,
you see
it all times. You see it everywhere. You see it everywhere. Especially if you work about. Because, like I said,
are you using the computer?
Core 10 steel.
Are you using the computer crane that just pours the house in one day? Have you seen those where you already designed it, and you just bring that truck and that crane like computer with the cement and metal vat, and it just builds the house. I mean, those are
I've seen that. I look at it this way too. I haven't seen those in apartment structures. So if you go above, I haven't seen what it can do. I've seen it on a single level building, which is okay if you that's all you're going to build. But we live in apartments, multi-family structures, et cetera, most people. All right, mainly because they can't afford to buy a house or don't know how to. So that machine has programmed to go up to a certain level. So now what happens if you want to do three floors? You know, so I looked at that because I know about that technology too. And I looked at every type of building technology over the years to compare what is the best material, best structure. Now, people would say, I wouldn't live in a metal house. Why? You live in a brick one. You live in one made of foam. You made one made of wood. Why wouldn't you live in a metal one? Well, the reason why is, you even do your aluminum siding and all this other stuff. That's metal on top of a structure that can be moved off its foundation with enough force that can be burned down, even with that aluminum coating on it, because it's just aluminum, which has a low melting point, et cetera. So building out of core 10 steel, we wouldn't, if you ever notice, shipping containers don't rust through. They have a patina, a rust patina, but that actually protects the metal underneath from environmental damage, so it doesn't degrade. So by building with this type of material, which is very cost-effective, it's cost-effective. I mean, you can buy a brand new shipping container, for, let's say a 40-foot shipping container high-rise for about $8,000 to $10,000. And that's why I like the shipping container build. And I actually had started out thinking, okay, we can build the first ones with shipping containers, blah, blah, blah. People would never know they were in a shipping container or it was built because of the design. Then I said, well, if we did this on a mass scale, what we would we can't use shipping containers. We need to make our own walls and panels out of the same steel.
Out
so that would be the next
out
step.
Of the same steel. Yeah, yeah.
Formulating our own metals and steels, Corten steels, through, you know, we don't have to have our own foundry. We can use theirs and tell them instead of making these walls for this, we want it made like this. You see what I'm saying? So, and
yeah.
Then we put it together. Then we put the structures together from the flat panels, et cetera, et cetera. Another thing that you had touched on is part of the plan because the area that we have right now is about 15 miles from Edwards Air Force Base. It's in the desert. There's a couple, I think it's about 30 homes or 40 homes in that area already built. And the sister who owns the land, I made a deal with her. Instead of buying and taking her land, let's do a 100-year lease that's renewed every 100 years, but capped at maximum profit, because I'm not going to take land away from my people. I'll show you how your family's family will keep eating off of this land forever. And one of the things we have to build, of course, is an infrastructure, a business infrastructure. We got to have stores. We got to have food, gasoline, et cetera, electric car chargers, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to build an infrastructure, business infrastructure, and we're right off of 58. So we're three hours from Vegas. We're about two hours from L.A., where this area is. I'm at the crossroads. And about 3 hours from Sacramento. 4 hours from Sacramento, where I'm at now. So, and I can get there through 99, Highway 5, on my way to Vegas, whatever. So that's a perfect area I look at, because we can pull a lot of the homeless out of San Bernardino, Southern California, Northern California, and Las Vegas to this 62-acre community. And that's why I said they would have, like, if they're coming off the street, straight off the street, we have to do assessment. What are your skills? You know, income, your mentality, are you on drugs, et cetera, et cetera.
And with that,
and we'll give you that help.
And with that, have you thought through, planned through the sustainability of a community built and to sustain it ongoingly with supermarkets, gas stations,
mm-hmm.
some of these areas
yep.
may be so remote that you're going to end up being a political developer of a billion-dollar status to even support the surrounding communities. And if that infrastructure isn't there, you're going to end up with another problem of imprisoning people out in the middle of the desert for good causes.
I know, because they're only like 20 minutes from Barstow. They can always drive to Barstow when we start. But, no, it's going to be an ultra-modern business section.
They have transportation. What if they are truly street-worthy? Not truly street-worthy, but so indigenous that they do not have the resources to garner, or they don't drive. I mean, not everybody won't drive.
That's the beautiful thing, because, see, that's the thing about having the infrastructure right there, because they can walk to work. Most of the people who live in these apartments will be employed, all right, in the first set, because the first set is going to be basically.
And what if you work remotely? I mean, what if you still, I mean.
You can work remotely from your home,
Will.
We'll have all that infrastructure. I'm not worried about that part. The hardest part would be the grocery store, believe it or not.
Yeah,
but
I
have an idea for that
too. I was part of a sustainability program here out of Trade Tech in 2004 to 2008, and I still communicate with them. But we had basically it was the process of regentrifying parts of downtown into what was known as Chinatown, and basically at the end of the day, moving people that could afford it, mostly white and young Latin and foreigners, into downtown mm-hmm. so they didn't have to commute. but they didn't build no damn supermarkets. They didn't have a convenience store.
They didn't complete the process. See, that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a 24-hour gas station. We're going to have a grocery store that fit that community. And I'm even looking at NewTek so that they can, we can, that everything is going to be computerized, of course, you know. And so we'll know what you normally buy. And now we'll have it for our residents that they can input their orders for what they want for the next upcoming shipment. So let's say every 2 weeks you need to buy milk. All right.
Well,
you
I'm
make
pretty
sure that
sure,
you put that on your list.
I'm pretty sure that Amazon Food and DoorDash and all of those services will be right there, and you ain't got to set up nothing extra as long as you have an opportunity for them to economically enrich themselves and you have the supporting markets, sushi spots, burger spots, taco spots.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah, we're
going to
open up for franchises and so on. Yeah, we're going to open up for franchises stuff because we're right off the highway, too. See, that's another thing. We're right off of 58, which takes everybody into Vegas. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I'm very familiar.
So having affordable gas, I may even do some Airbnbs, not really a hotel, but maybe some rentals for people who are passing through, because I would want everybody to see this paradise one way or the other. And that's another
thing. Well,
yeah,
that would make good
economic sense. I'll call her back. I know this is Yolanda. She was calling for tomorrow. We're supposed to be in L.A. for the Soul Festival, and
for the Taste of Soul.
You'll see hand in hand there. You'll see us there. We're part of that.
You know what? I just took off Saturday for the main day. And I am planning to visit Taste of Soul. So you and I can certainly connect Saturday, which will be the 15th tomorrow.
I'm personally not going to be there. Yolanda's going to be there in our stead. And because on the 17th, I just got through with an event with the McCrae's in New York, a new show that's going to be on Hulu and everything. We just did an event in Atlanta, and I have a veterans event I have to do Monday with Elite, a fifth annual veterans small business event. You know, helping veterans get in the business and everything and so on like that. We do a lot, man. We do so much, and I work through osmosis. You know, I work through other people, you know, who are there because I can't be everywhere myself. You know, and like I said, we're building a community, a collaboration that is international, and we're gonna to get the money and the stuff. And once then, the thing is with my things. If you look at my programs, when you're going, all my programs generate income while solving problems that we can put, like my Cans for Kids program helps businesses learn how to recycle properly, which also reduces their garbage bill. And we take that money to fund our program and fund children's programs.
Now you're talking. There's so much free money running around here, and people, for some reason,
on my programs alone, let me tell you what my programs would generate. Just in the state of California, the state of California's CRV recycling, which is only the CRV stuff, is over $27 billion. We're licensed recyclers in the state of California. All right. So that's just the CRV. Now, if we want to look at the total in all, I couldn't even tell you, but I would estimate it to be about $170 billion a year. That's tires, paper, everything. Now, the Cans for Kids was our first program. It's very well established. We did government, business, everything. And we only had to shut it down because of the pandemic for 2 years. So now we're restarting that back up in the collaborative with more help. So we'll create more jobs. The first part is, of course, the mobile Cans for Kids program. The second part will be the Cans for Kids community recycling centers, which will be small recycling centers dotted around different areas and communities. And we take that money and put it back into things that's needed into that community too. You see what I'm saying? So now let's say you need a daycare center. Okay, you need a daycare center with that's why the Healthy Homes Plan is so important to establish us as that environmental builder too. So now we have the people, we have the staffing for building any type of building we want, because we're going to have to do schools eventually. That's why I'm starting off with the single apartments first to show everybody what we're talking about so they can actually touch it. You know, I mean, we have somewhere they can spend the night in it, you know. But to garner the investment, so this is what we need to be building to protect our people, for one, our loved ones inside. I mean, from the air on down to, you have complete control over your environment inside. Complete control. Air quality, water quality is always going to be good. You have control over all your lights. You can have rooms, different colors, all by remote. Everything is remote control, all smart appliances, solar, wind, and hydropowered, three systems. So that way we should never have a failure. I believe in backing up my backups. Okay. So
sound like Mr. Walker, you got a plan. And it seems as if you and I will be in greater communication. As we come to the close of this show, I just want to reiterate to the folks that listening and those that we're going to send these shows out to that there is a way to overcome the obvious problems, economic, physical, even emotional and spiritual challenges. And I would suggest that knowledge is always a way out. Informing yourself, getting into the inertia, the minutia of, I heard this was the way, but then I heard about this. Well, investigate all of it and then the alternatives to that. And then the efficacy. Efficacy is something that we haven't talked about today. But with every program and every programmatic thesis or theory, the efficacy, meaning how are they going to pay for what they're going to do? And if they do this, then does this create that? When they create that, how are they going to do it with that? Meaning we can create all kind of waste-free energy usage sustainable solutions that have a byproduct, and then those that host those solutions need to be forthright with what are we going to do with the byproduct waste then thereof. Even with nuclear energy, there is a vat of bad water, water and air. And so where is that going to go? Are we going to pump it back in the earth and then kill us all?
Actually, the Healthy Homes Program and that's another thing I didn't mention, but the Healthy Homes Program actually benefits. It helps clean the environment, too.
Well, I can agree with some common sense, is that anything that is building from a manageable infrastructure position, and by that I have to really say, folks, having a good idea is one thing. Being able to manage the idea is what this young man is talking about. Managing and bringing heretofore a simple idea and then moving it from a one home person to hundreds or thousands is the goal. You have to replicate success. It's karmatic. If you do not, then it will stifle you. If you can create a Tesla generator on your own and have energy going in and out of your own house, and then you forget about the people around you, at some point that is going to be unsustainable for you. You may be creating too much energy and this, that, and the other. You can create a very secure off-the-grid environment, and I know this because I'm a builder. I built something for my mother, and one of our issues was in the back house was that we wanted it airtight. We did not want air coming in and seeping around. So when I finished building it, I had it insulated with plastic on top of the foam and this, that, and the other. And then we realized after they moved in, it was too hot. I had over security.
Yeah, so, you didn't provide a vent, did you?
I didn't put a vent in. But I had thought through the vent, but because I built conclusively in my mind at least, I thought that they would realize that after talking to them before they moved in, it's just like, look, not gonna have no problem with heat and just crack a window. Nah, that didn't work. So I needed to go back in and remove some of the insulation so that they would have a vent. It all worked out in the long term, but the point is, as we construct opportunities for each other and ourselves, you still have to be mindful of certain areas of concern, i.e. pitfalls, i.e. collusion, i.e. I didn't plan for the unimaginable, and the unimaginable happens. If I hear another person from Ian or Florida or any of these hurricanes saying, well, I was just going to ride it out, and I just thought that the Lord would have it. We've been here 49 years. Well, that ain't how the Lord I know works. You're going to have to move when he say move. When he moves, you say move. And if nobody, I remember a minister once said this, who told you that you were supposed to go to one place and be there all your life and raise whatever you're doing and that one house and that one? Who told you that when you have all this earth to maneuver about? So with this, I'm going to close and say a wise man once said, don't tell me, Mr. Harris, how many degrees you have. Don't tell me, Mr. Walker, how many institutions you went to. Please tell me how many places you have traveled to.
Oof. That's everywhere in the United States.
You will pick up culture. And I'm pretty sure you saw them in some of those other 50 states. So it's all good. I appreciate you calling in. This has probably been one of the more clear shows that I've had in a minute. I mean, we weren't jumping all over the place. We had coaching issues in which we're trying to bring some solutions. And I like the fact that you know what you are getting into, what you are doing, and what that altruistic spirit about. Give me your final thoughts.
We got to work together. God gave us all this planet equally. So I agree with you about God didn't say stay in one place. We are tenders of this planet. We need to understand and forgive those who trespassed against us. Let the little stuff go. Let's all be kinder. Maybe that's the word. You ain't got to love each other, but let's be kinder to each other. Let's understand by working together, everybody benefits equally. Nobody is better than the other person. One more thing I want to say before I get off here. Everybody listening, go to the HHF or Google HHF space DFP. Join this free program. Save money on everything you buy. It's 5 apps. I own no parts of these companies, but I'm a part of them because of being, I'm a part of them just like you would be. I joined the apps. Then I contacted the company, you see, to improve these apps, to make them better. But these five apps will give you multiple savings, help you build your credit, help you invest, and give you five passive businesses that all you do is share your link to tell people about it. Sure, you use it first so you'll believe in it and do it. Do it and do it yourself. And anybody 16 or over, this is the very important part. Your children, when they get 16, put them on this program. Because I can tell you, I guarantee you, they will have thousands of dollars by the time they hit 21.
Well, this is a good way to improve upon the conditions of everyday folks. And I don't just say this lightly. I really believe each one teach one. And then the hard legacy of follow-up. For folks like me and you, we are in the follow-up business, meaning, yeah, we said that and I meant that, and now we're going to follow up. So in subsequent days, you'll have me following up with you. You and I'll follow up. And on our next show, I'm going to develop something in which you can actually be even more eloquent on a particular narrower set of topics, specifically wealth building, financial knowledge, investing, common sense type stuff, not break your neck to make a dollar type stuff, and not no, the internet guru. Yeah.
Pennies add up.
Yes, they do. Not only do they add up, they stack very nicely, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I put out a post actually advertising the VFP, and I took a picture of a whole box of change I had rolled up. I said, I love collecting change. I said, just about everybody does, but the only way to build more change is I got to keep adding to it. But as I'm adding to it, I'm actually losing money. Because the value is dropped. So that's why the DFT is there. It'll help you invest some of that change.
Smart economic science. I really appreciate it. I'm going to end this on a song, and I assume that what I'm pressing is there, but it's an old school song for us old school heads by DJ Quick. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. My brother, I'm going to holler at you today to the email respond. I do have to go into a concert today. Ladies and gentlemen, you know I do backstage at certain places. I'll be there today. And then next week on the horizon, we got NFL. I'm going to actually also, folks, get back into my sports edition and broadcasting some of my favorite games. You know, I'm a Raider-holic, but, you know, we ain't doing what we need to do, but I'm going to still represent.
Yeah, I work with them, too.
What's your favorite NFL team, bro?
Actually, I'm a Raider fan. I'm a Raider fan first, and then they left when my dad was going to buy me season tickets, so I went to I got 49ers. So I'm a 49er Raider fan. I tell them it's all Bay to me. And I live in Las Vegas, so it doesn't it doesn't make a difference. But I'm the one that helped stop the Raiders from blacking out games in 2008 and 2009 and ran that program until 2017. And with the Raiders,
exactly what you were, man. And what's my announcer name? Palace, Greg, what is it, Greg? Who used to do the shows.
Greg, you know, on the financial show?
Hall? He used to do the broadcast. What's his name?
Okay. I thought you were talking about, Greg Hall, right?
I can't remember the last name, but he would be the voice of the Raiders. He's still around. And I remember them talking about it, and I didn't understand. And I understand, but it's all over finances. The Raiders didn't want to pay for shit, and they're still fighting the fucking legacy of trying to get a stadium. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to get into that Raider.
Yeah, we'll get into that one later. Let you get off the air.
Yeah, we can do 30 shows about NFL politics. But with that, my brother, I'm going to suggest this. You keep on doing what you're doing because obviously you're focused on a larger message and to even help you have it. So with that, if it don't make dollars,
motherfucking me. Coming to you direct from the penthouse.
It don't make
this motherfucker.
Thank you.
Yo, player.
Oh, amen.
Break yourself, house in the presence of his backness. Roll by Audi back with another plastic package. For the suckers who thought we wasn't coming just like this, kiss my ass and watch the truth straight straight to your bitch. And get a hoe back with a maximum control in the mind and body. Still giving that pussy a party. He bust the ass, niggas getting paid. But it ain't shit, so yeah, your punk motherfuckers doing low. But yo, witness a Mac with a strong back attack with no pity. Getting fat off your bitch's shitty. Los Angeles players are the penthouse of worldwide. Run, but you can't hide. Check your girl, cause I'm shoulder fly. But up in between and get a hoe, what she been asking for. No disrespect to something else, so she'll come back for more. Never underestimate the power of a young throat. Checking a fat grip and ain't on no head trip. With suckers on the nutsack hanging from the head. And bitches on the dick like my BVD underwear. But freak ain't jocking for whatever reason, so what? I'ma steal, hit some dust, get a nut, and a proper cut, slut.
If you do nothing, say nothing, you'll never be nothing. And there's a sucker born every...
Medium fitment.